This is Katie and Kate Carbondale. Support for GeekSpeak on Katie and Kate comes from Louis the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Secure, informed, and connected. 970-948-7992. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer. Louis is MIA at the moment, so hopefully he shows up or calls in shortly. I'm in studio with Chris and Cody of the Katie and Kate staff. They're going to be just asking technology questions. I welcome you to do that as well. So the phone number here is
970-963-2976.
I almost gave up my cell phone there.
Please so. Call. I'm only here for moral support.
Yes.
To fill space in the studio.
All right.
Yeah, you couldn't have two less qualified.
That's all right.
Geeks, although we can geek on something.
I was going to say we can geek out on audio or food or whatever.
Yeah.
It's all right. So a couple things I wanted to talk about. A Linux distribution, other computer program. So you have Mac OS for Macs, and you have Windows for most PCs. Linux is another one. So one I've been using for 20 years now. So it came out in October of 2004. I've been using it since then. So, but it turned 20, and I just wanted to say it's a fantastic program and project.
That's the computer that's in front of you there?
This one is running a derivative of it, actually. Yes.
Wow.
So this one's called Pop OS. It's a little. It's actually made in the company that stewards this is made is in Denver, in the Denver area. So,
And so the main attraction of Linux is the customization factor, or
right? It's well, you can actually. You have everything from the source code to and then anything. So if it doesn't do something you want it to do, you can go into the guts of it and dig around and figure out how it works and make it work that way if you wanted to do that. Although, I see what they call it. There is a racing community. So, like, you know, the racing cars, the cars that, like, the import cars that they, you know, modify and and hop up and do all those things. So there's a community of, like, desktop environment ricers now, so they make their desktop environments work the way they want it to, and make it really pretty the way they. So there's kind of an art to it, and
cool. And so this program was introduced 20 years ago, or you got your hands on it?
Introduced 20 years ago. So I was using Fedora, and probably I'd have to go see what the other ones are that I was using back then. Probably like Nix OS and things like that. But this one was introduced in October of 2004, and so I've been using it for various things, for servers and for laptops and desktops and stuff. But it's kind of gotten to the point where it's taken over my world. it's replaced my Mac, it's replaced my Windows machine. This is my main computer, this is my laptop. At this point, the Windows computers and the Mac computers are just kind of token there, because I need, you know, it's like somebody brings in a Mac, I might need to use a Mac to fix a Mac.
Do you think you would have predicted 20 years ago that you would be this fully engaged in Linux? Did it, like, catch you right away, or did you?
I think for probably so there's been a joke since about the same time this came out, is that you know, this year is the year of the Linux desktop, and you know, I think we're getting way closer. This one here, the Pop OS, they're currently working on a new version of it, and they're going to switch from GNOME, which is a desktop environment, to one that they're making in-house called Cosmic. And it's currently in Alpha 3, so that's happened since the last show. So I have it running on a old laptop, and it's very pretty. It's really fast. It's very efficient. So,
what kind of laptop are you using for this Linux system?
It's an old Dell something or other. I mean, it's just
so the Linux is compatible with PCs.
Yeah, you can run it on a Mac. You can run it on the new Mac. You can run it. You can run it on a Raspberry Pi. You can run it on a little. $5 computer, you can run it. There's a very few places that it's not running. You probably interface with it every day. Anytime you use a website, the computer that's running the website and all the services behind that is very likely going to be Linux.
And do you get involved in, like, the hardware side of it, or is it purely a software?
So there is a what is it called? So there's a BIOS. So there's two different things going on. There's actually a full open source processor set up called RISC-V.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody wrote, basically, they call it an ISA. I can't remember what it stands for, but basically it is the instructions that mm-hmm. are that make the processor for the computer. So you can go all the way down to the level of the way the transistors are configured on the CPU, all the way up into the software and into the user space.
Wow.
Open source now at this point.
Uh-huh.
And so about a year ago, I was reading a thing, and this guy's like, oh, we'll have RISC-V laptops in 10 years.
Uh-huh.
There's a RISC-V laptop released, I think, 6 months ago at this point.
Uh-huh.
So it took, instead of taking 10 years, it took, 8 months.
Oh, wow.
From
okay.
that statement. So
in your line of work, do you end up having to get the soldering gun out much, or are you pretty much?
I'm teaching myself SMD. So I've teaching myself soldering. Yes. So uh-huh. I do a fair amount of soldering, but I'm trying to learn how to do stuff that's basically you're taking a grain of sand off of the board and putting the new grain of sand on.
Yeah.
Type stuff. I have a microscope and all the things uh-huh. that go along with that.
I kind of went down the rabbit hole this month, not on computers, but on radios, getting into, I have a boombox that has a little bit of I think it just needs to get cleaned out. It's just got a little bit of a crackle when I change the volume. I think it's just dusty back in there.
Yeah. You got to clean your rheostat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just got down the rabbit hole, and then I got onto some YouTube page or something with this guy who was, completely taking apart these beautiful boomboxes mm-hmm. and diagnosing all of, but it's kind of fascinating because it's so hands-on, and that level of complexity, you can really feel like you could actually fix it. Whereas I imagine with the level of a computer, it becomes sort of beyond, you have to become really advanced to be able to actually solder pieces for it or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. You end up using a heat gun, basically. So you have I have a desktop heat gun, and I can configure the airflow. I can configure the temperature, the airflow coming out of it, and all the other settings. So I can heat up a chip and mm-hmm. heat the chip up very carefully, and then use a pair of tweezers and pull the chip off of the.
Uh-huh.
Louis actually has me working on a project right now, and I'm trying to figure out how to get the underlayment off of. So it's a MacBook Pro with a dead hard drive, basically. So the hard drive's a bunch of chips soldered onto the board.
Uh-huh.
And so basically what happens is you have to take the chips off, clean that, and then you take this little board that this company in Asia has figured out how to do.
Uh-huh.
And basically take everything apart and then solder this board onto the board, and then it gives you a place to connect to a regular SSD that would be in a laptop.
Okay.
Huh. Onto it. So I'm still trying to figure out, there's one part of that I'm trying to figure out is how to, because they basically put this glue under the chips. So I'm trying uh-huh. to figure out how to get that glue off without damaging the board.
Uh-huh.
That's where I'm stuck right now.
And so do you just have to train yourself on the internet, or were there places people train you how to do this stuff?
There are places that train you. No, I watch videos and go, okay, how can I, uh-huh. How can I make this work the way I want to?
Is that kind of your whole career has been done that way, or did you go to school for stuff?
No, I'm all self-taught. So this uh-huh. is how looking at stuff and going, okay, I can figure this out and making it work.
Uh-huh. The tinkering. That's yes. the best way to learn stuff, that's for sure.
How many years old are you, Matt?
39.
Okay, yeah. That's right about the same as Chris and I. So you've seen a lot change in your life, I imagine.
Yeah, I started taking part in fixing computers when I was 5 or 6.
What?
What was the first computer that you took apart?
Probably a Digital Rainbow. Was it 100?
Digital, I've never heard of that.
So it's a 1978. It had a 8086 or 8088 processor. So, it's a processor that we would, it's like kilobytes, and they don't. It's not even megahertz. They measure it in MIPS.
Huh. Wow.
So ancient.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, we've gotten pretty geeky in this conversation, and I just wanted to ask a stupid question.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's going on in pop culture and in tech world? What about voting machines and software in that world? What's the buzz?
Yeah.
I haven't looked into that. That's a good question, but I haven't looked into it that much. But I've always had this idea about the using the blockchain to do that, figure out a way where you can, because basically the idea of a blockchain is you just have a starting point, a known starting point. So you have basically the password for the chain,
mm-hmm.
and then everything gets piled on top of the the on top of that starting
mm-hmm.
point,
mm-hmm.
and it you know, you basically can't be changed. You can't go once something else has been piled on top of something else in mm-hmm. that chain. It can't be changed. It can't. You can't edit it.
Would that be like for each voter? Would they have their like a chain, or would it be like a how do you?
That's what I was trying to. That's the part I've been always been. It's like okay, so if they're all interconnected, they all have to talk because that's the idea Bitcoin
uh-huh.
is that everyone comes to a consensus and then the next block happens.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, can you really do that with however many voting machines would be required to do that? Is there enough, because that takes a lot of processing power
yeah.
to do that because Bitcoin is basically using as much power as London,
uh-huh. in
the city of London.
Wow.
To do those calculations at this point.
Yeah.
So you're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 970-963-2976. Call in with your questions.
Yeah, give us a call. That's 963-2976. I'm sure there's plenty of things that are technologically questioning in your life.
So, yeah, because I'm assuming everyone in Colorado is pretty much doing mail-in or in-person.
Yep. And I think even if you do it in person, you just get a mail-in ballot essentially and fill it out.
So basically, yeah, you get your ballot and you fill it in and then it scans it or whatever and
yeah.
sends it off.
So there is software used in sort of counting machines.
Counting machines, yeah. Mm-hmm. But there is a paper version at least, which is a good thing.
Yeah, because then you can at least validate it. We won't have any of the hanging Chad problems.
Yeah.
And of course, we always hear conspiracies here and there throughout the news of the trustworthiness of mm-hmm. the voting system. But yeah, I wonder, are there any specific examples that you guys can think of any kind of fraud within like tech software?
In what regard? I mean, I'm trying to think. There's so many different ways.
How would they even know, right? I don't know.
I mean, I think people said.
Like, I was going to say, because if you're doing testing, what you do is you say you have a known set, so it's, 5,000, Democrat votes and 5,000 Republican votes, just to or whatever your test, whatever, because you're going to have some failure rate. This failure rate's never going to be zero when you are like scanning in an analog device, if you're scanning in your mail-in ballot, basically it's never the error rate is never going to be zero.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, do you run? So it's like you take your known setup and you say, okay, that came out, within 1% of what we expected,
mm-hmm.
Or did it come in, or do we have to run 100,000 to know that it comes in within 0.001 of that? So as you do a larger and larger data set, you can look at the error and figure out your error rate with more and more accuracy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. I mean, I think technologically a good factor in our election system is its decentralization and the fact that each county clerk basically is in charge of their own fiefdom to some degree.
Okay.
And so that means that it's hard to game the entire... You could game a county potentially, but not beyond that very easily.
Right, and that's where it's like each county have a basically a blockchain,
mm-hmm.
So all their voting machines are talking to each other and creating that blockchain, or is there like a set of 5 or 6 or 10 servers,
mm-hmm.
Sitting at the county seat, doing all those calculations and doing the confirmation and making sure that
mm-hmm.
that chain gets built.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So,
but I haven't looked into that too much lately. We got a call.
Here we go.
You're on with the geeks. Oh, are we doing this thing again?
Phone one. Let's
try it again. You're on with the geeks.
I'm curious. How come there isn't a receipt for voting on a voting machine and potentially a carbon copy sort of thing for mail-in voting?
That's an interesting question. Because I have seen voting machines where you fill in your vote digitally. So you go through the screen or the wizard or whatever it is, and you cast your vote, and then they print on a piece of paper that says you voted for X, you voted for Y, you voted for Z, and then you basically read the receipt, basically, and you confirm that your vote is correct, and then you move on. So, and but again, that varies by count, you know, by county, by city, by state, depending on what statutes are, you know, being forced upon the counties and things. So I'm not sure exactly what that looks like in Colorado, but I do know that some jurisdictions do have print out a physical, you know, like receipt of ballot from the digital one as well.
Yeah. Well, it would be interesting for it to be nationwide. So if there's something happens and people could re-vote or something, I don't
It's like, how do you validate that as well? It's like, you know, because there's, you know, however many, you know, hundreds of thousands of unused ballots, and how do you make sure that those aren't, you know, counted twice, or if they are stolen or whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy complicated.
Absolutely.
Thanks for the show, guys.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, no sign of Louis still, but got 15 more minutes to hear calls from people.
What's one of the things that's really keeping you busy with lots of clients, Matt?
Let's see here. It's, you know, it's kind of a quiet season. I'm like kind of on hold right now. So I'm waiting. Okay. I have like 5 projects that are, you know, Aspen related, and I'm just waiting for those to kick off. I don't know if everyone's waiting for the election or what's going on. So I'm just a lot of like install stuff is on hold at the moment. So I'm, more working on like, media stuff for my website and, making sure all my business stuff is, you know, dialed in and all those kinds of things before I get going for the season.
So you tend to do a lot of like built in network and media stuff.
Yeah. A lot of install type stuff. And then the other side is, like MSP kinds of things where it's just,
what's MSP?
Managed service provider.
Okay.
So basically a company hires me and I make sure that their servers work and their printers work and their computers work and that there's at least some level of cybersecurity. And
you're sort of IT without contract IT guy kind of, but not full time.
Yeah. So if it's like, you know, if you're a small company, that's what my target is.
Yeah.
I want to be able to, you know, make sure that the small company stuff is all dialed in and help and working. Mm-hmm. For them instead of against them.
Yeah, so, yeah, you don't have the Christmas deadline isn't as sharp this year for home improvement projects, home theater projects.
No, it doesn't seem like it, no. although we'll see where people are. So it is kind of a slow time, because everyone's kind of counting their pennies. And at the end of the year, everyone will be like, we need to spend money, you know, we need to do a capital expenditure at the end of the year so we don't get, you know, so we can finagle our taxes. Uh-huh. So I get a lot at the end of the year. You're on with Geeks.
Hey, this is the Missing Geek.
Hey, Missing Geek.
Hey.
I am so sorry, you guys. I've been doing this show for like 25 years, and I have never just flat out forgotten.
I've done it once that I know of. I'm certain I've done it once.
Yeah.
Well, you must be living well then.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm down in Uray, and I'm exploring the technology of hot water coming out of the side of the mountain. So,
That sounds nice.
And so far, it's going really well.
Which hot springs are you at?
So we are at a Box Canyon. We're staying at the Box Canyon Lodge. And I neither endorse nor oppose Box Canyon Lodge, but the water is amazing. So.
Are there different technologies as to how the water is delivered or treated at the different Uray hot springs offerings? Or?
You know, I think that underground thermal pressure created by heat is pretty much the preferred delivery.
So,
yeah. Anyway, well, hey, I'm really glad you guys went on without me, because when I realized when I got Matt's text message, I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe I did that. Yeah, well, anyway, what are we talking about? You guys were talking about cybersecurity a little bit and managed services.
I talked about Ubuntu turning 20 and Pop! OS Cosmic Alpha 3 is out. And
We talked.
Wow, they don't call it Geek
stuff.
Speak for.
No, no, that's just what I've been into the last week, 2 weeks.
They don't call it Geek Speak for nothing, man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No.
So, but I was going to tie that in with Windows 10 is going to be end of service, end of life, a year from now.
Uh huh.
So.
Got it.
We got a bunch of old computers that won't run Windows 11 for certain reasons. And maybe these other offerings would be a good choice for someone who wants to continue to have a computer to surf and do some basic things.
You're
like
saying
that.
Linux, go a Linux direction.
Yeah, it might be a good way to to take a test drive on there and see if it does.
Uh-huh.
Because it runs web browser. So, like, if you're familiar with Chrome OS, that's actually built on top of a Linux distribution called Gentoo.
Hmm.
And, everyone I've ever talked to with Chrome OS, as long as you ask it to do what it is designed to do, it does it very well.
And so what's the newest Microsoft thing now?
So Windows 11.
11, they're at 11 now, okay.
Yeah. Is there a 12? I heard something about 12, but I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, this will free them up to start coming out with 12 and start getting the people that are on Windows 11 to live in fear.
Although it's been free upgrades for quite a while.
Yeah. Well, I'm really glad you guys are talking about that because I just got turned on to from another geek friend that there is a hack for the what's called TPM requirement. And for those of you who don't know what TPM, it means Trusted Platform Module. There is a hack that will allow you to run Windows 11 on a computer that does not have the compliant TPM. And so I'll do some homework and be ready to report back to the class in a couple weeks about that. Not to blow. It's not an easy hack, but for people who are really want to put the finger up to Microsoft and say I don't want to upgrade yet.
I don't want to upgrade my hardware because of a software
for
hardware reason.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be prepared to everybody tune back in a couple weeks, and I'll be prepared to talk about that. And I might even try doing the machine myself ahead of time, and so I can kind of report as to the difficulty and the pitfalls of the process. Anyway, yeah. So it's not the end of the world.
Nope, we got Windows 10. We got a year to figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So, all right.
All right.
What else is shaking, you guys?
Well, I was going to ask how is everyone going to keep track of the election tomorrow, or are they going to bother?
Either Marilyn Gleason, our news director, will keep me informed.
I'll be here all day and night listening to KDNK, and I trust KDNK to keep me informed.
Right. So I'll probably be using Perplexly.
What's that?
It's kind of like GDP. It's an AI. So they have a thing that's going to keep track. It's going to use several sources and keep track of, who has what electoral votes.
Okay, so this is specifically to figure out
the
presidential, or is it also down-ballot races?
It looked like, it looked like it covered pretty much everything. It has the presidential contestants, including all the other ones.
And it's just really fast at aggregating the data.
Yeah, it's basically the idea is that it can aggregate from the sources pretty quickly and get that.
Uh-huh.
Looks like you should talk to our news director after the show.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, it's experimental, but it might be worth it to have it up on one of the... up on a screen and kind of just see how it agrees with your other sources and see how it does. It's an AI thing, so it'll either do really well or it won't work very well at all.
It'll hallucinate a new presidential
candidate.
Might be a really good thing.
We invented this new candidate, the AI.
Perplexly. Go. Is the one I'm going to be testing just to keep it, see how it works. I'm sure you have all your other news vendors that are going to do that, but I'm sure KDNK is going to be all over it as well.
I guess
it's really trying to stay away from highly opinionated news in general, and so that might be a really good place to start for me. You know?
Yeah, that is a tough thing to find these days.
Uh huh.
Is yeah, the news.
Yeah. You know, I like to draw my own because I'm a very opinionated guy. You know, they just kind of get in my way when they do that. So.
And so, are you just going to parboil yourself right on through the election down there, Louis? Or are you...
Oh no, we actually, unfortunately, will get up in the morning and hit the tub one last time, and then we are on our way back to God's country there.
Oh, okay.
In the valley.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah. We've been. This will be our third night in Ouray now, and I highly recommend. Two nights is not enough. Three nights, almost enough. And this is the first getaway that my wife and I have had probably a year now, and so it was pretty important.
Both being business owners, will do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Well, anyway, I know you're about to wrap up, so I'll get off the line. And great talking to you guys, and mea culpa for missing the show or the first part of the show. And
worries. Relax. Serenity now. Serenity now.
Yeah. So. All right. Take care, dude.
Take care, Louie.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Louie.
Yep. You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McGrath. Thank you, Chris and Cody, for standing in for Louie until he called in. We'll be back on the 18th. Don't touch your knob.